It's been a long week.
Hey, Lou, first time caller, long time listener.
You've waited patiently.
I can think of a million things to ask you, but I'm going to limit it to one thing today.
Well, the time is here.
I don't think I've missed a show except for when I was out of town.
And the time is now.
Hey, that is unacceptable.
Time now for Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Oh my God, this conversation is so deep in here this morning, you wouldn't imagine. Have a nice day, fellas. Welcome, Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mark Carman sitting in the sports booth. Mabel Walker over there. Hello, Mark Carman.
Good morning, Lou.
It's nice to have you here this morning. Did you lose a bet? What happened?
Well, Lou, I've actually been begging Joe Brand to come in and do the Saturday Morning Show weekly, and finally he let me.
Wow.
So I'm back on August 31st, too, Lou.
That's good. All right, I'll write that down. Lindsay, put that down, August 31st, so we have that. Maple, nice to see you here this morning
good
as well.
Good morning.
I like that. Mark, are we going to shave the beard before the wedding? When's the wedding?
The wedding is November 30th. Are you anti-beard, Lou? You don't like the look?
Well, I'm not anti-beard, but, I mean, you're a handsome fella, and I'm going to just put this out there. I realize it's the radio. It's a lot of gray. You're a young
wow.
man.
I like it. Hi,
you
Mark.
Do. Hey, yeah,
Lindsay.
You do. Yeah, you always. You've always. You've. Wow.
I do. I like a man
I'm
with some
Lou.
Scruff.
Right.
Well.
Lou.
See, it's getting a lot of positive reviews, Lou.
Not itchy. I mean, it's good. It's a good beard. I mean, maybe I'm a little.
Away.
I'm a little envious because I can't grow
oh, yeah.
a beard.
Look at that.
Yeah, he's got the salt and pepper. Actually, you pull off the salt and pepper pretty well.
See, it gives me the distinguished presence. He knows what he's talking about, feel, Lou, that I've been lacking, perhaps.
Oh, you're thinking, so this is a branding thing,
yes,
too.
Yes, 100%.
Right, right, right. Well, he looks like he knows what he's talking about.
Right. Right. Distinguished, powerful, all that.
Can we talk?
I don't know about that.
Can we talk
I
about...
I do like it, though.
Yeah. Oh my God, Mark's gonna be going back to his fiance. Well, you know, Lindsay really likes it. So
I mean,
good.
I sat down in a barber shop this week, Lou, and asked for a trim. I've never done that before in my life.
Of the beard?
Yep, felt like a big deal
with the straight razor.
I mean, I don't know what they were doing. They got the electrical thing came out. The straight razor came out. A lot of things were
wow.
going on. I closed my eyes. Didn't you know? It's a very awkward thing, I think.
Okay, so you're getting married November 30th. Maple, you're getting married too, right?
Yes, March 21st.
Oh, okay, so you got a little bit more
yes.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that boy's name that you're married?
Peter.
And does Peter have a beard?
Oh, God, no. Sorry. No pun intended, Mark.
Wow.
No pun intended.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow, Peter. I like that. All right, good. Well, all right. I don't know. I don't know. What does your fiance say? It's not up to me.
Yeah, so
it's up
she,
to her.
That she loves it. The driving force behind this, Lou. That's really what's
that
going on.
That is the most important part. Lou,
is
what's
it?
Your motto?
Mark, I've been married 29 years, and everyone that knows me says they've never seen me happier. Happy wife, happy life.
So the whole 29 years, you've never been happier? That seems like a long time. I don't know if I'm a little curious as to what's really going on here, Lou.
My friends of mine, when they see me, they're like, look at him, he's never been happier.
Okay. 312-981-7200
is our phone number. More with Mark Carman and his beard talk coming up a little bit later on. And Maple's here to do the news. She'll come back at the bottom of the hour to update us on news as well. So don't worry about anything. We'll give you all that information that you need throughout the day. And we'll also try and help you fix and repair and maintain your home. Coming up a little bit later on, we have an interview about something really cool. Actually, I just heard another report about this that happened at the state fair. There's a company called Hempatexture, and they are a full-service hempcrete construction company specializing in hemp building products, hempcrete training, and green building strategies. These guys are taking part of the farm bill of 2018 was that hemp is now industrial hemp is now a legal product for farmers to grow, and there are a bunch in Illinois who have signed up to start growing this weed, basically. It's not marijuana, it's hemp, and it's one of the oldest building products. I had an opportunity to talk with the co-founder of this company, really cool guy. They're out of like Sun Valley, Idaho, maybe? Lindsay, right? Sounds about right. Really nice guy. And what they're doing with this building product, and it's really, really cool. So we'll learn a little bit more about that coming up a little bit later on. Let's get to your phone calls. So 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Nancy in Hinsdale. Nancy, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. How can I help you?
We live in a four-year-old condo building with wooden doors that face south, so they get full sun and they get a lot of weather. We've had them refinished once. They've already had to be, they have to be refinished again, and our last estimate was around $5,000. So I'm wondering if you could recommend a composite door that might be more cost-effective for us.
These are real wood doors.
Right.
And when we refinish them, what are we refinishing them with? Do you know?
I don't know, but whatever they used was not a very good product because it only lasted a year.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, so there's a bunch of different options you can have. There certainly are composite doors you can do. There's a fiberglass door. The sun, though, is going to really, you know, it's going to, the UV is going to tear it all apart. And I would hate to see you just change out the doors and then get the same results, because the thing is, you like the look of the wood door, right? Are we willing to change the entire look and go with like a lighter colored door? Do we want some sort of, design element to it all?
No, we love the look of the door. We're just thinking about how much money it's costing us to maintain all this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's what I would try. How many doors are we talking about?
It's a double front door.
So it's just one set of doors.
Right.
All right. Here's what I would do. You need to talk to a really good painting contractor to get this done the right way. We're going to sand those doors down. We're going to apply a fresh coat of stain, to the surface of the door. Then we're going to get some spar varnish, which is a marine varnish. Okay. No one gets more sun than the boat. And this is where we're going to use this spar varnish. But they're going to cut that first coat of the spar varnish with some mineral spirits, almost 50-50. And they're going to apply that, and that's going to help absorb the resins into the fibers of the wood. And then once that dries, they're going to lightly sand that down, and then they're going to put two more coats of full-strength spar varnish over the top of that. This door should last for years with that finish on there. Your alternative is to replace the doors. You could go with a fiberglass door, which has a wood look to it, but even then, that's going to wear off. The only way you're going to get some consistency in this whole look where you don't have to do a lot is if you go with like a white fiberglass door or a white metal door that's going to reflect a lot of the sunlight, and it's going to be more of a painted surface as opposed to a wood surface.
Yeah, and that's not what we're looking for.
Right.
We did find a really good refinisher, and he said that if he did it the right way, it would probably last us 4 to 5 years. But we were thinking all that money for, every 4 or 5 years.
Well, what are we paying to refinish those doors?
$5,000.
Oh my gosh, you're getting that. That is a crazy amount of money. It should be half that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it should be half that. Hold on a second. I'm going to get you the name of somebody that for half that I can get them to come out to see you for sure. So don't go anywhere. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back. Carol is in Palos Park.
I had gray horned owls in my backyard for over 16 years. And
who?
Gray horned owls.
Who?
Oh. You're a shit.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hi, welcome back. That's me. You're never going to get my love. 312-981-7200. Jeff is in Algonquin. Hey, Jeff, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm great. How can I help you?
Well, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And I am trying to redo. I've got aluminum columns by my front door, and they have turned into a chalky white mess.
Mm.
You walk by, and you're covered in white.
Yeah.
And I've tried to wash them, but now I'm washing so much of it that they're turning into silver columns instead of white.
Okay.
So I'm going to repaint them,
right.
But I'm wondering, do I have to prime them? Do I have to get all of this chalkiness off? And is there a paint that won't show, that levels out, that does not show brush strokes?
Okay.
No, huh?
Well, I mean, you're going to get some brush. I know you want that painted finish look, like a spray painted finish look. And so you could, a couple things. This is a little involved, but you're going to take a sanding sponge and you're going to go in between those grooves and everything, and you're going to sand as much as you can, and whatever comes off just by hand, that's great. Then you're going to wipe the whole thing down with something as simple as mineral spirits and a rag. Okay. So now we've got it as clean as possible, and I do want you to use an exterior primer. Are we going to paint these white?
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to use an exterior primer that will kind of bond everything together. And, you know, one of the better ones would be either a Kills or a Bin, a Bullseye product.
Does it have to be an oil base?
It doesn't have to be. Okay. You could use a latex base. That's fine. And then just a thin coat. Not much. We're just looking to bond everything that's there. And then you can use a really good exterior product that's designed to go onto aluminum. This is a really good product that a lot of people, they know about it, but maybe they don't think about it. But Ace, my friends at Ace, make their Clark and Kensington exterior paint. A few years ago, and it still is, was rated by, you know, one of the big consumer magazines as the top exterior paint. It's super durable. It's designed to go onto aluminum, and it is an acrylic product, lots of resin and acrylic in it. So you do get a little bit of that self-leveling characteristic from it. Okay. But what I would tell you is it's a pretty thick paint, and you want to buy a really good brush so that you get nice, even coverage on this thing, and you're probably going to end up with two coats of it.
And I do two coats all over the place. My dad keeps telling me, your rooms are getting smaller because you put two coats on all the time.
Well, I'm not going to argue with your father. But the two coats, just because of the exterior and the durability you want, you do this and those will look great, and you'll get a lot of performance out of it. It's not the kind of thing that with a white color, you shouldn't get any peeling or issue from that.
Okay. Do you need a hat to wear with when you're doing this?
You need a hat?
Way back when, I know, don't you? You don't remember? Everybody would try and get a hat.
I don't have the hat anymore. You know, if the sales staff here at WGN was listening, we'd have a hat sponsor and I could give you one.
Right, that would be great because you know it faces west, and
we do not want anybody to get skin cancer. So if I had a hat, I would give you one, but I don't. But we'll work on that.
All right, Lou, just kidding around.
You got
Thank you very much for all the information.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate you calling this morning. 7:29 in the morning. We'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning. You've got your radio on, and you're tuned in to Lou. Here he is now, right here on House Smarts Radio.
In the middle of our street, our house.
Hello.
In the middle of our
Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 312-981-7200 is our phone number.
It's usually quite loud. Our mom, she's so house proud.
This is Daryl in Huntley. Hey, Daryl, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Howdy, howdy, Lou. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's going on?
Got a little problem. Got a vinyl siding and got little black dots all over the windows, and it's called artillery fungus according to a pressure washer guy, but the pressure washer will not remove that. Wondered if you had a secret potion that I could get rid of the little spots and then get the house pressure washed.
Are we trying to get it off the vinyl or the windows or both? Okay, well, on the glass, it's on the glass?
Yes.
And have we taken a razor blade to the glass yet?
I thought about it, but I have not done it because I thought there might be some sort of a coating or something on there that would get scratched. matched up with the razor blade.
No, what I here's what I would do with the here's what I would do on the glass. I want you to just take something as simple as Dawn dishwashing soap and warm water and a sponge.
Okay.
And I want you to get the window soapy, right, with the warm water and the soapiness, and then a straight, you know, scraping razor. Buy a little pack of them, you know, five pack or so. Nice sharp razors. Lay them flat. And go ahead, and that should take the glass off. You won't, you shouldn't damage the glass whatsoever. On the fungus, this is a job, I think, for wet and forget rapid application hose end. And the reason is it's a product that kills organic material that, you know, changes the color and the look and everything. Now, this is this thing hangs on really well. So you're going to connect this to a garden hose. What's important that you do here, Daryl, is that you spray down any vegetation that's around the area first with water. Okay, because it'll kill the grass if you get that full strength on there. So you're gonna spray that down, and then you're going to use the hose end on this thing and start at the top and get it nice and sudsy and spray it all down, and then walk away. In about a week, I want you to come back with a plastic putty knife, which are very sharp, but they're plastic, okay?
Okay.
And with the graining of the vinyl, I want you to see if this wet and forget now in the short run has loosened up that stuff that you can scrape it away a little bit.
Okey-doke.
And if that works, then you can have the guy come back and do the pressure washing.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I've tried the wet and forget and had very good results with it.
With other stuff.
Because I listened to Lou Manfredini a couple, 3 years ago talking about it. So I'll get right on that.
You're a good man. I appreciate you calling this morning. Have a great day. Thanks so much for calling. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Thomas, who's driving around. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. First time caller. I've listened to you a lot.
Thank you very much. How can I help you?
You're very informative, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you a painting tip first, and then I'll get into my issue. I've worked for a painter throughout my life in side jobbing, and whenever you have to prime something, you can have them tint the primer to the color that you're painting.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, that's a really good tip if you're painting a darker color.
Right.
They may not get right, you know, they may not get super dark, but they can throw a little blue in there or a little red, whatever the color may be, and that makes your life a lot easier as far as putting the putting that finish coat on there. That's a great tip.
Right.
Yep.
So even if you're not that great of a painter and your eyes are failing like mine because I'm 50 and you miss a little bit, the primer's the same color as your paint.
You know what? Can I tell you something, Thomas, that I'll tell the young kids out there listening, the one thing, I don't have a problem getting older, but the one thing that drives me crazy is my eyesight. That's the thing I hate the worst. That losing my, it's the worst. Like I'm got to grab my glasses or I got to turn a light on. I cannot stand it. Now, because I've always had good vision. Now, my young, smart producer, she's been blind her whole life, and so she knows no difference where she's got glasses like the Hubble Space Telescope when she's not wearing her contact lenses.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For that image.
My question...
Yes, sir.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No.
My question is, I bought a rehab house from a guy that rehabs houses for his job. Okay?
Okay.
So they put ceramic tile in the bathroom on the wall and on the floor throughout the house. Well, we bought the house almost 4 years ago. A couple days will be 4 years ago. And I've already had to replace the tile in the bathroom. But now the tile on the... Because of the grout popping out of the stuff. And now my tile on the floor is cracking throughout the house.
Okay.
My question is, do you think I have recourse with the man who sold me the house?
Well, I mean, the four...
Is there a way to sue him or contact him and tell him, hey, listen, the shoddy work that you guys did is giving out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know what the terms of your purchase were, but typically, like a home builder, you know, there's a warranty that goes along with it, and new homes have like a 10-year structural thing as part of the state of Illinois has a rule about that, about the actual structure of the building. But in a rehab situation, I mean, do you have some recourse? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
And you know, if they put the tile right on, you know, that they didn't properly do it, I mean...
No, they put the concrete board down, and yeah. then they, you know, I just think they didn't know what they were doing.
Right, I mean, and that may be the case.
They just rushed it through.
Right, you know? I mean, look, here's the thing, Tom. In our society, people can sue people for anything, right? So, I mean, do you have legal recourse? I mean, I suppose if you found a lawyer that you talked to, they would probably tell you, yeah, sure, let's sue him, whatever. But what I do know in all of that, in the years that I've been in this business, is that in the end, the ones that benefit the most from any of that are the lawyers. And then
right.
what do you end up ultimately getting? You know, if in the end you got to pay the lawyer and you get $500, I'm like, yeah, but I got $500. But then what does that get you? You still have a bathroom with cracked tile. So,
right.
You know, with a lot of that stuff, it's always, you know, for all of us, right? It's buyer beware and you know, you want to do the best and you hope that people are doing a good job. But in the end, sometimes cutting bait and running and just getting it fixed and moving on is the better way to go. Now, again, you have to decide what you want to do as far as your legal recourse, but what makes the most sense for you and your family and the money you're going to spend on something like that. That's a decision that you have to make for yourself. Tom, I appreciate your phone call, and I hope the project works out for you. Thanks so much. We're going to take a quick break. Lou Manfredini here, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
He might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but he's my dad. Now back to Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio.
Well, it's all right.
Oh, my gosh. My daughter's in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and she's going to Iguazua. It's one of the seven wonders of the world.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And they're taking a 16-hour bus ride to get there. And yesterday, the bus was 6 hours late.
You mean, like, just arriving?
Yes. And so she's like, oh, other than that, we're doing great.
16 hours on the bus?
That's what she said.
And
there's
school?
Like a whole bunch. It's a school trip.
Oh, okay.
Right. And there's like a whole bunch of buses going, like
that's
multiple
so cool.
buses going to Iguazua.
What is it?
I don't know. I gotta make sure I'm right about this. She's blogging. Have you been reading her blog? Oh my gosh, she's so fun. You got to read it. It's so funny. For those that know my daughter, she writes like she speaks, and so it's literally like you're having a conversation with her, and she's very funny. It's funny because her sister, Carmen, is the writer, and Mallory talks about not being a writer, and it's very funny. I don't know if I told a story about the French. There's a bunch of French kids that are there, and our daughter Mallory can make friends with anybody. And so there's a whole group of students there, and she sees these kids all sitting there, and she walks over like, hi, I'm Mallory, I'm from the U.S., and sits down, and they're all a bunch of French students. But she goes, they kind of gave me the cold shoulder. And, like, they just wanted to be with their French friends. And she's writing all this. She's like, you know what? I don't need to be friends with the French. And so she just walks away. I tried, but the Frenchies, they didn't want to do anything with them. So anyway, she's Iguazua. Iguazua? Right? I'll look it up. Supposedly one of the seventh one. To Google seven wonders of the world and then see what it is and then tell me and then we'll find it. That's what Mallory said. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Rob, who's in Charleston. Hey, Rob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
I was calling. I have a question. I have a Therma-True door that I just had installed the other day, but I did not get it stained. And I want to stain and polyurethane it.
It's a fiberglass door.
Yes, it's a fiberglass door.
Okay. You're going to do it?
I was going to do it, yes.
Okay. A lot of times with these fiberglass doors, they give you this information about using the gel stain.
Okay.
I can't stand the gel stain. Don't use it.
Okay.
I don't know who these people are that make these recommendations, because it's just the worst to use this stuff. So what I would do is just get a good oil-based stain, like a Minwax, right? They've been around forever. Whatever color you want. Clean the door up a little bit. Maybe even give it a little light sanding just with a sanding sponge. Not much. Just to cut anything off of it. Stain it. Let that dry. Just like I told the lady at the condo association early this morning, you're going to get a spar varnish. The fiberglass is porous, and so that stain's going to get absorbed, and so will this spar varnish. You're going to cut that first coat of the spar varnish 50-50, mineral spirits and spar. Mix it up, and you're going to put that, you're going to go, it's almost going to look like water when you put it on, but it's going to pull some of the resins that are in there into the fiberglass. Let that dry. Sand it down again nice and smooth. A little steel wool. Two coats, full strength, spar varnish. Invite your friends over to look at how nice your door looks.
Sounds good.
All right?
All right.
Appreciate you calling this morning. Have a great day. 312-981-7200. This is Gary in Westmont. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes. My question. I have a four-season sunroom. And it's, I believe it's either vinyl or aluminum roof. And where the seams meet, there's a heavy caulking between them. And also, I have two skylights up there, which is heavy caulking of some kind all around it.
Yep.
Well, over the years, it's got a lot of mold, the whole roof and dirty. And I want to use this wet and forget. What I'm concerned about, will this wet and forget, if I spray it on the whole roof, will it loosen this caulking? And will I have to replace the caulking, because it's caulking that you can't buy in a hardware store, even Ace?
It will not.
Oh.
No, so it will not. It will not harm the caulking whatsoever. It'll have zero effect on it whatsoever. The key with that, when you have like a seamed roof like that, we need to, you know, when you're spraying that, are you going to jump up on a ladder to kind of get at this? What are you going to do?
No, I can get up on the roof through the second floor window.
Oh, okay. So, any vegetation that's around there, Gary, you want to spray that down with water first.
Okay.
And then you're going to really spray this really well, right? So when you start to spray it out of the end of this thing, it's going to be, you know, you're going to see it kind of foam up and look almost like you're spraying it with a dish soap. It's going to do that. What I would do is spray it all down, since you've got such heavy buildup there, and then give it an hour, come back and spray it again.
Oh, okay.
And then walk away, and then hopefully in a few weeks you're going to start to see results. It takes time with wet and forget. It's not immediate. So, you know, I don't want people to think, like, when you put this stuff down, it's like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? You know, why isn't this done? So
now, does it need rain? Because it's going to rain today. I was thinking of going up there before it rains.
It absolutely needs rain. And rain, if you can get up there now and do it and get it all done and then wait for it to rain, that would be great.
But if I do it earlier and it doesn't rain for a couple of days, that won't
fine.
Rain
it does not matter. Oh. No, doesn't matter.
Oh, great.
Yep.
So wait an hour and do a second coat and go from there.
You got it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You got it, Gary. I appreciate you calling this morning. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. In case you didn't know, my name is Lou Manfredini. The show is House Smarts Radio, and you're listening to WGN. We'll be right back.
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't.
Whatever's making you scratch your head this weekend, Lou is here to help.
We've got a problem with black mold.
Got a beep in my living room.
My furnace.
It's humming.
Just give him a call. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Hands up. Welcome back. This hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Design First Builders and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. You know, I was mentioning Misericordi Family Fest will be volunteering, and, you know, normally I do like an appearance where I answer some questions, but I'm like, let's just mix it up a little bit. How about I get to work in the beer tent, right? That would be fun. I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but my father-in-law is going to be there, and my my niece and nephew, Eli and Sophie. So it's a really fun event. Come out and see us, Misericordia Family Fest on September 8th, which is coming up. And today, I'm actually going to be out at the Roselle Ace Hardware Store. It's a grand reopening from 12:30 to 2. So if you're out in Roselle, come out and say hello. They're at 821 East Nergy Road in Roselle. So 12:30 to 2, come on out. It benefits, it's a fundraiser for the Children's Miracle Network and Lurie Children's Hospital, which is always a lot of fun. Great group as part of the ACE Foundation. So would love to meet you and say hello. So please come out to the Roselle ACE Hardware Store, 821 East Nergy Road, 12:30 to 2 today.
Hey, by the way. I don't know how to say it. Iguazu Falls.
Iguazu.
Like I said.
Yeah.
It's not one of the original Seven Wonders of the World, but
there's an original and not an original?
That's correct. There's like different ones. There's also the Seven Natural Wonders of the World, which is where Iguazu Falls.
Well, isn't that what the natural one? Oh, wait. So aren't the pyramids part of the pyramids are part of the Seven Wonders of the World, right?
I believe. Yes.
But those aren't natural.
I believe so.
Right. Like the Grand Canyon is a natural.
There's a lot of them.
More than seven?
No.
No.
I mean, they're all seven, but there's like.
Is Machu Picchu?
Wonders of the Ancient World.
Oh.
Wonders of the Natural World.
Right.
Or Natural Wonders of the World. Yeah.
What about Mark Carmen? Would he be a natural wonder of the world or just a regular wonder
of
the world?
He's just a regular.
He's a man-made wonder of the world.
Thanks, Lou. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Right.
Seven wonder cities.
How about Bryce Harper Underwater and his grand world? Walk-off grand slam to kill the Cubs the other night? Would he be a wonder of the world?
That is a wonder of the world.
Oh, easy, Lou. The Cubs are not dead. They're one game back.
Oh, that was hurtful, though. And then last night, I'm driving home, and you know, like John Williams said, the Cubs aren't on the radio anymore, so it's hard to follow the game, you know?
It's true.
But we were, it was again, bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases loaded, and I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to lose again with a grand slam.
Yeah, well, this one was only a base hit. They only lost by one rather than two.
You know, Mark Carmen, you're a funny guy because when you want to get upset about a topic when it comes to sports, you do. But then you're also like this calm, cool, collected guy. Like, easy. They're just one game back. Easy.
Well sometimes you got to zig when everyone's zagging, Lou. Let's not go complete panic.
Yeah.
Right?
When do we go to complete panic?
A couple
more weeks?
I would say complete panic would be about four games out. Then you can have a complete meltdown.
Then it's like, yeah. Right.
Till then, be cool.
Yeah. Here's what I don't understand. I have this conversation with my my oldest son, who's a big sports fan, and he loves it. He's the host of Deep Dish Sports Talk podcast, by the way. Carmen, I'm a big fan of The Shift.
You like The Shift?
You know why I like The Shift?
No.
Because The Shift, to me, causes an opportunity for a professional baseball player to beat The Shift. Let me give you a thing. You know, people talk about the economy and all the things that the economy, we got all this stuff going on. And in the world of business, what happens is businesses figure out a way to work around stuff that is a problem. You know what I mean? Like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, exactly what you just said, Mark, sometimes you got to zig when everybody else is zagging. Or did you go the other way?
Whatever I said.
Right. So here's the thing, right? I watch when my Italian brother from another mother, Anthony Rizzo, is up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the third baseman goes over to where the second baseman is, right? And there's a giant hole between second and third, right?
Yep.
How much are we paying Anthony Rizzo? Lots of money, right?
A good amount of money.
About
$5 million to be.
Okay, so let's do this. Hey, Anthony, just give it a little chop right over there. Doesn't even have to be much. Learn to put the ball over there, and then they won't do that anymore. Or you'll get on base.
So, Lou.
And then my son says, you know, these guys, they just can't do it. They can't do it. We're paying these guys millions of dollars. You should spend every day when you're not, you know, eating a bone of beef, working on how to get the ball over there. Because there's a big hole there. Mark.
What about that thing called the home run, Lou? Ball out of ballpark.
That's great, but you can't get them all the time. We live by the home run, you die by the home run. How about the base hit? I like the small ball. I like the small balls.
Just for the record, I'm 98.3% with you.
Okay.
Look, they want to give you a base hit, man. Take the base hit. You don't even have to swing. Drop a bunt down. You
can all day.
You can walk
he
to first.
He can walk there, and he's a big boy.
He does it once in a blue moon.
He does, but you should be doing it all the time. You should be, like, I would be, and not that me, but I'm saying, if I was the coach going, I would be like a Cheshire cat up there with that smile going, all right, you going to do that? Watch this. Clink. And then, treat, 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 treat. That's me running to first. Treat, treat, treat. And there I am.
Let me ask you this, Lou. Let's go deeper. Let's say it's two outs.
That's all I got. Go ahead. Keep going.
It's two outs. No one's on. You're Anthony Rizzo. They're doing the shift. You doing the same thing?
It's two outs. Nobody's out. What point of the game?
It's the third inning. It's no score.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I'm getting. Here's the thing. You got to get on base to score.
Well, not necessarily. You could hit the ball out of the ballpark. But okay.
I'm perfectly fine with him hitting home runs, but if they're going to give you that, if they're going to telegraph to you, hey, I don't think you can do this, I'm going to be like, watch me.
Right.
Then you're scared of him because then you don't know.
See, there's this thing out there called math, and that's unfortunately or fortunately what's going on with baseball. You get on with two outs, and the next guy's got to get ahead.
It's a lot of math. I know. I get it.
And the next guy.
Not my forte.
But I'm with you, Lou. With you. Get on base. It seems like the right thing to do.
Thank you. Mark Carmen, one of the wonders of the world. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Julie in Crystal Lake. Julie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
Your daughter is in for a real treat. I was down there when my daughter studied in Argentina.
It's right.
And the falls are amazing. We stayed on the national park property, Cataratas de Iguazu, so we could walk along the trails, and there's a metal walkway you can walk, and the falls come down and under you. It's
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's really excited about it.
Pods that they ate the seeds, and they would throw the pods in our heads.
That's so fun. It's good to be Mallory.
Well, my question, I don't want to take too much time. I had my kitchen redone, and I bought a granite composite sink. A white one. I had a black one before. And now I've been trying to be careful, but I have a couple of little nicks in it. Not chips, just like nicks or maybe the tip of a knife or something hit. Is there anything I can do to get rid of those nicks or seal them up?
It's a composite, meaning that is the material that you bought all the way through? Because a lot of that is refinishable that you can sand, but you need to know, like, if it was a Corian product.
No, it's not a Corian.
Right, but there are other manufacturers of that. Do you know the maker? Can you look under the sink to see if there's a Blanco composite sink?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain on the Blanco. I'll search that out. But I think you can just sand it out. And if that's the case, then you're just going to take some emery cloth and you're going to kind of edge it all out. But don't do anything until I do a quick little research and I'll give you an answer in just a couple minutes, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Marianne, who's in Johnsburg. Hey, Marianne, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. This must be a sink day. Real quick. I have a Corian sink, of course, with the counter. And yesterday I noticed what I think appears to be a crack. I tried to clean it. I don't think it's a scratch. It's not leaking underneath the bowl. Can that sink be replaced, like cut out and replaced? Or do I have to have a whole new countertop with that sink replaced?
Well, wait, now you said there's a crack, but and you see the crack on the bottom too?
I'm looking in the sink, and to me it looks like it's a crack, although if I put my hand underneath the bowl, it's not wet. But there is some stain there, so my thinking is, okay, the sink has to be replaced, but can that be cut out, just the sink?
I mean, it can. It's a little bit involved, but I think that may just be a hairline separation at the top. And unlike, I got to find out about that lady with the Blanco sink, but the Corian sink, you can definitely sand that out. So okay. How old is this sink?
When we built the house, so it's 20 years old this
okay.
year.
Go to the hardware store and buy some emery cloth.
Okay.
Like a 200 grit emery cloth. And it's a sandpaper that's very fine, but it has a fabric on the back, not paper. And I want you to cut a piece of that off, and then I want you to, with the sink a little wet, I want you just in a circular motion, sand that crack off. And see if that hairline surface crack on the 20-year-old sink like that, you can just blend that all in. Now, I don't want you, Marianne, to bear down right on that crack. I want you to do the whole base of the sink, right? So you're basically going to go around. You're going to get your really good arm workout. You won't have to go do the dumbbells or whatever it's called, the cowbells. Okay. Not the cowbells. What's that thing called? What's that bell called that they lift up in an exercise class? You know, it's one handle and not a dumbbell. It's a cowbell, not a cowbell. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You just won't need to do it because you'll have your arms will be in great shape. Sand that all out. If all of a sudden it comes back and it looks beautiful, you're golden. If not, you got to get a Corian. You got to get a Corian certified installer, and they can come and cut that sink out.
Okay.
If they still make the same size sink, and they could put one in, not an inexpensive proposition.
Okay, that's what we thought.
How
do we find a qualified Corian installer?
Go to Corian.com, and you'll find a dealer. They'll have a dealer locator on their website.
Okay, Lou. I thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Hey, we've all got our areas of expertise. Lou's area just happens to be your house.
I've been listening to you for a few months now, trying to catch you saying something not quite right, but you got it all going on.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN. Never.
No, it's not. Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Okay, that Blanco sink, you can't sand it. It's a granite composite. I did a quick little research of it, and I've seen those sinks. I haven't used them or installed them. And they do, if you go to their website, they have a bunch of care tips for it. But those chips, you may actually have a warranty claim against it. But I don't know about the age of when you bought it, and but go to their website. It's funny, they recommend things like Limeway and CLR and Barkeeper's Friend, one of my favorite products, to keep it clean. But those nicks and chips shouldn't happen, but it has granite and composite mixed in, and so sanding it doesn't really make a lot of sense. There may be a way to fill those with a little porcelain touch-up kit, but it's not going to look that great. And I think that I would start with talking to Blanco directly first and see what they do to direct you there. Appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. John, I was just in Waukesha on Thursday. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Sorry we missed you.
Who is the famous person, for people that don't know, who was born and raised in Waukesha, Wisconsin?
Les Paul.
Les Paul. There are Les Paul guitars all over Waukesha as you drive around.
Well, claim to fame. We live just a quarter of a mile from the Les Paul Freeway.
No kidding.
And my uncle, who played drums and had his own orchestra, was a schoolmate of Les Paul, and they played together.
I was up there visiting my niece and nephew, who live in Pewaukee, right next door. And we were joking about the fact that, and he said, he goes, yeah, you know, the guy that invented the Les Paul guitar lives in Waukesha. I go, Les Paul? How can I help you, sir?
Well, I have a situation here that I would love some help on. We have a deck that faces due south, live in a condo, patio doors leading to the deck, obviously, with a half-moon window over the deck, or over the patio door.
Okay.
the reflection from the sun is so severe that it has burned about four or five boards across the composition deck, melted a piece of siding, and also even burned a cover that I had over my grill. It just melted it. And there was another unit in our complex that they say they have tried putting a half screen or a screen over this half moon window. I thought that would help, but it did not do enough to reflect the rays.
All right, I want you to try something. Can you get at this half moon?
Yes, I can. Like, I can, with a ladder high enough, I can do it.
Okay. Rust-Oleum makes, I mean, this is a tough one because because the thing is, when you're in your unit, this half moon, in other words, you see it from inside your place, right?
Correct. We have the high cathedral ceiling.
Okay. All right. So you have a couple ways to go. One is the screen you can buy at the hardware store, PET screen. Okay. And the PET screen is a thicker black screen that isn't as, it's not as see-through as a regular, aluminum screen or fiberglass screen. And you could cut this to fit around the half moon there and cover that. That would probably do it, but it would also change the look on the inside from that half moon a little bit, okay?
We have a shade that covers a permanent type of shade.
On the inside anyway.
Inside, right. So that's not important. Inside.
Okay. So the PET screen would probably be my first choice. The second one that you could try is Rust-Oleum makes a opaque spray can that you would put on glass to make clear glass look opaque. Now, in a perfect world, it goes on the inside of the glass. But you could try this on the outside. You would tape off the frame of the individual. So you're going to tape off the area, so you're just spraying the glass. Clean the glass really well. Spray it, and it's going to turn that glass into an opaque kind of filtered glass. And that will probably break the reflection because it's going to absorb it a little bit. Long term, it might peel, but it might not. And if it did, you could just scrape it off with a razor. And that would do it. So those are two options that I would try to try and solve this issue for you. John, I appreciate the phone call. I just have to put you on hold because it's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
All right. If you're contemplating modernizing your kitchen, then you need to check out these new Europa cabinets that Tom has available. They're frameless, they're sleek, and they have this ultra-modern look that you often see on home shows. I don't know, like Housemarts. They're highly customizable, and they come in an assortment of colors that range from classic to vibrant. It's really important to bring an element of visual interest into your kitchen, and these Europa cabinets can help transform it from dull to dazzling. Another reason I'm always anxious to see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks for listening to my dad.
He's America's home improvement hero.
He's really tall.
He's Lou Manfredini. And this is House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. I am really tall. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 720 WGN. Thank you so much for listening every Saturday morning. Nice to have you with us. John Williams coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. Now I want to talk to you about a new building product that I think, all the talk about the legalization of marijuana, and a lot of people have opinions about that, and there's another kind of confusion about hemp. Like, oh, what's going on? In the 2018 Farm Bill, now decriminalize, that's the wrong word, but it made it legal in the state of Illinois to grow hemp. And so there are farmers now that are growing hemp because it has amazing industrial capabilities. And there's a company out of Idaho that is using it to build well, to build homes, basically. And it's kind of an amazing thing. I had a chance to talk with one of the co-founders of this company called Hempitecture. And it was a really interesting conversation that I want to share with you. Take a listen.
Joining me on the phone line right now is the COO and founder of a company called Hempitecture, Tommy Gibbons. Tommy, thanks so much for joining us this morning on House Smarts Radio.
Thanks, Lou, and thanks for taking an interest in hemp building.
Tell me a little bit about your company and then what it is you folks are doing.
Yeah, so Hempitecture is a North American hempcrete construction firm. We not only professionally install hempcrete on building projects, we educate other builders on how they can incorporate hempcrete into their practice. We sell materials and equipment for hempcrete projects, and we hope to soon get into the business of prefabricated hempcrete building products like insulation panels and hempcrete building blocks that can be distributed to buildings.
Okay, so the misconception is, what are you talking about, Lou and Tommy? You're going to build a house out of hemp, or you're going to use it as some kind of siding or exterior interior thing. I'm going to put that on there. I'm going to get high inside the house. That is not going to happen whatsoever.
That is not going to happen for two reasons. One, because hempcrete is very fire resistant and won't burn down in your house. And the second reason is, yeah, hemp has no THC. That's the active ingredient in marijuana that gives you that psychoactive high.
Now, let's talk about the benefits of it as a building material, because one of the things that's super unique is everything that I've seen now. I mean, hemp is not a in hemp construction. We haven't gotten to a point where it's a structural product. I know that are bricks being made and there is you can pour this and maybe, you know, these are the types of materials you're making. But it allows moisture to wick through. The bugs don't like it. It really is this very healthy means by which to build a home.
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head. It's very important to understand that this is a non-structural building material. Its primary objective is to insulate the building. So it's very good at regulating the thermal temperature inside a building as well as the moisture level. And that's what makes it a desirable insulation.
So give the audience example of, like, if I was going to build a home, and the thing is, I mean, what I've read so far about this hemp and the fact that the farm bill is now, you know, changed and there's not enough being produced yet to be this mass thing, but it's coming. I mean, you guys at Hempitecture are kind of at the beginning stages, and there are others like you as well. But if I'm going to build a house and I'm going to use hemp, kind of take the audience through, like, how it would be used.
So the two, well, I would say hemp can work its way into building products three ways. Most commonly, and the one that has the most use worldwide, is hempcrete.
Right.
Hempcrete is an insulation material that can take away the need for siding and goes around the framing of your house.
So I would build a frame home, like a wood frame home. And then instead of putting siding on the outside or drywall on the inside with insulation, I would use hempcrete.
Exactly. And then you would finish it with a plaster, or there's a couple of other finishing options.
Right.
The other options are hemp bat insulation. You can think of any other type of mineral bat insulation that can be rolled up in between stud bays. That's another possible use of hemp as a building material. And then there are experiments for OSB replacements using the same part of the hemp plant. We use the hemp shiv and putting those into, like, a plywood OSB replacement.
To kind of use as an exterior sheathing on a home or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And you
– hope.
Go ahead.
Well, with the hope that it possesses the same vapor permeable characteristics of hempcrete.
Right. You guys have been in business how long now?
So my co-founder started this company after college in 2014, and then I joined him a year and a half later. We knew each other from high school.
Oh, that's cool.
And we had two very different skill sets. I mean, he comes from more of a building background like yourself, where he was building high-end residential construction out here in Sun Valley, Idaho. And I came from more of a startup business background. And so we merged those two in an effort to try and bring hempcrete onto the main stage in America.
Right. right now to use this product, it's kind of like if you want to drive an electric car, right? It's a little bit more expensive to do, but the benefits from an overall, ecological framing, or, you know, like meaning that, you know, your footprint of what it's taking to build this thing is just so much better for the environment.
I sure like to think so, because hempcrete's life cycle is basically carbon negative. The hemp that's absorbed, or the carbon that's absorbed by the hemp plant during its growth cycle,
right,
more than offsets the carbon that's released to the atmosphere from creating limestone, or turning limestone into binder.
Right.
So every cubic foot of hempcrete you're casting into a wall, there's a varying estimates where people assume it sequesters 7 pounds of carbon dioxide. So if you're looking for a low impact, I mean, this is a material that can be regrown on an annual basis. It doesn't take up much water, doesn't take up much land. It's actually replenishing for the soil. So there's a lot of reasons to the ecological perspective of hempcrete. From an economical perspective, that's kind of what our business works on. Hempitecture tries to make working with hempcrete easy. And we do that with very efficient installation equipment, using large industrial-sized mixers, different systems working together so that you're mixing and then delivering hempcrete directly to the wall cavity as fast as possible.
Right.
Because it's mostly labor that drives the cost of a hempcrete project. 80% of the project cost is labor. Only 20% is materials. And the material cost we expect to go down more and more as hemp becomes more localized and more widely grown.
So if you had to put a number on, you know, if I was using this material versus conventional materials now, would it be a 20% increase, a 30% increase? I mean, overall, I mean, how would you kind of put that into perspective?
What we've looked at, and when we compare against national building averages for drywall, outdoor siding, and interior insulation, we're 10% higher than that cost.
That's not bad.
But you're using a continuous insulation, right, that eliminates thermal bridging because there's no gap between the insulation.
Right.
And it's a very, very efficient insulator that has great thermal mass. I mean, it holds the heat that comes from the sun during the day, and it disperses that heat at night. So it's very effective at passively heating and cooling your house. So there will be energy savings in the long term.
Right.
And it's also a very sturdy, durable material that whose performance won't degrade over time or with exposure to moisture.
I think it's awesome. I think that the more that we can come up with alternative building materials that are less impactful and something that we can literally grow and then use and then grow again. I mean, you know, it's not unlike lumber, right? I mean, the forestry industry is a crop as well, but this is fast growing.
Absolutely.
This is fast growing and just has so much potential. Tommy Gibbons is the COO and founder of Hempitecture. Appreciate you taking the time today. It's a cool product, and it's a cool whole industry that is going to, I think we're going to learn more and more about it. I think the biggest challenge, as he mentioned, is the fact that right now there's not enough farmers producing hemp, but I think it was at the Illinois State Fair, I heard a report on this radio station about announcing the amount of farmers that are now growing industrial hemp, and there's a huge opportunity here. It goes back 10,000 years where hemp was used in textiles and one of the earliest things, and it's basically a weed. So the great thing about it is it doesn't need a lot of water. It grows in tough conditions, and so you're hearing about this on House Smarts Radio now early, and 5 years from now, there'll be more and more stories about this, how it's being integrated into the building world. And I think that this is just a natural evolution of these products, more natural, more of a demand to use less chemicals in our world and have these great benefits as far as heating and cooling a home. Cool, cool, cool stuff. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that Fix-It guy, right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Over our horizon, sailing. He's kind of deep seas. Now she headed east down the border.
Welcome back.
Sure.
Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Let me be your cargo.
This is Jackie in Moni. Hey, Jackie, you're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. I have a problem with my wooden deck. It's a very large deck. It's probably 18 years old. And no matter what we put on it, it seems to always peel off. Last year, we used Thompson's Water Seal. And after this winter, we came home from Florida to find it all peeling off again. We can't figure out what we can do to keep a stain on it.
I feel badly for the people at Thompson's Water Seal because they so want me to be a fan of their product, and I'm not for a deck.
Well, I'm not either anymore.
Well, I wish you would have called me sooner. Here's the thing. Thompson's, there's a misconception, I think, with a lot of people when it comes to staining and sealing a deck, and they all talk about, I want to see the water beading. I could care less about the water beading. I want to protect the deck from the sun. It's the sun that beats up the wood. It's not the water. Think about what a tree does when it grows. It sucks up water. So water's part of it. I want you to, who's going to do all this work for you, Jackie?
My husband.
He's a good man. What's his name?
Ray.
Ray. Ray's going to do this. If he follows my instructions, Ray is going to go to Florida. He's going to, where do you go when you go to Florida?
We go to Destin.
Oh, Destin, Florida.
Yeah, I've been going there for many years.
I love that. So he's going to go to Destin, Florida, and he's going to say, Jackie, let's go get a brandy old-fashioned somewhere, and I don't have to worry about the deck. Do you like a brandy old-fashioned?
No, more like a 7-7.
Even better. Who doesn't love a 7-7? Okay, so Ray is going to pressure wash the whole deck.
Yes, he did that last year. Okay, pressure wash.
And he's going to repair anything that needs to be repaired. And on a not-so-sunny, hot day, he's going to start and he's going to apply Penifin deck stain. Now, let me ask.
Tell us, please.
P-E-N-O-F-I-N. P-E-N-O-F-I-N. Penifin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this deck get a lot of sun or is it covered by shade?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's on the west side. It has a pergola over the top
of
it.
They make a blue can and they make a red can. You're going to buy the red can.
Red can.
Because it has a higher UV protection rating than the blue. And Ray is going to take a, this is a brush. So Ray is going to brush on a few boards left to right. And then he's going to get to the end and he's going to turn around after 5 minutes and he's going to wipe it away like he's refinishing a, like he's refinishing a table inside the dining room.
Then wipe away. Okay.
And then you're going, and there's no Thompson's, there's no nothing. This is it. Penifin, rosewood oil base, red can. Call me back in 5 years.
I
mean, you can call me back sooner, but I mean, when it pertains to your deck. Here's the thing, what happens with this Penifin. That
Penifin?
Yep.
Penifin red.
In the red can, you're going to, you need to find a dealer, so it's not, you can't find this. There's a lot of Ace dealers that carry it, but you got to call them. If you go to their website, penofin.com, penofin.com.
Okay.
You will find a dealer locator, and there should be one down there in Moni.
All right. Very good. No, I doubt it. There's not much in Moni.
Come on. If I was going to come to Moni and you and I were going to go out for a 7-7, where would we go?
Probably Brian's.
Okay. All right. Maybe he sells.
It's an old-fashioned saloon.
Right. Maybe he sells stain in the back. Who knows?
We'll find out.
You're right. Maybe he puts that in a 7-7s. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back.
Most people love the weekends. A little R&R, time with the family, maybe some celebrating. Unless you have a to-do list around the house a mile long.
When do I need to?
I don't know what to do.
Hey, you only know what you know. And what you don't know, maybe Lou does.
I'm not that smart, but I'm no dummy.
Give him a call with any of your home improvement questions. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I'm only one.
312-981-7200.
I'll be there to save
the day. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. You know, my wife and I, my wife loves to go to the movies. She is a, you know, member of the Academy by default. And we went to go see the movie. Mark Carmen, are you a movie goer? Maple, are you a movie goer?
I am.
Yes.
Well, we went to go see Blinded by the Light. Are you? Have you heard of this movie?
I have not, but I can't wait to hear more, Lou.
Okay, well, so Dean Richards, you know, I love the Dean Richards, and he does the movie reviews, and he was on with Bill and Wendy and gives the, you know, the Dean's list, you know, where he gives you what he thinks about a movie. And I, you know, Dean and I are, we're longtime friends, and usually when Dean likes a movie, I like a movie. Just, that's what I'm saying. He gave Blinded by the Light a Dean's list A, I'm pretty sure. It was an A or an A minus. But A is a big deal, right? He doesn't just throw those A's all around.
No doubt.
Based on a true story about this young Pakistani boy in the 80s who lived in London and how the music of Bruce Springsteen changed his life. Now, I went to the movies with my wife. She is not only is she a member of the Academy, but it would leave me tomorrow for Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen, I think, is 69 years old, and he's short. My wife is tall. But it would be, I mean, actually, I think probably a lot of people would leave me for Bruce Springsteen, right? Carmen, you'd leave me if he was here?
No. Come on now, Lou, and I don't think your wife would either. Bruce is maybe back in the day, but...
He looks pretty good. Anyway, this movie, at certain points during the movie, I was sitting next to my wife, she would just reach over and, like, clutch my hand. She was so excited. I mean, she was so... And so the music is integrated into the storyline, and it was a really... really sweet story, right? So we come out of this movie and we're texting friends of ours, oh, you got to go see this movie, Blinded by the Light. It's really good, really good. I get home last night and my son Max had gone to the movies and he goes, he came home late to say goodnight to me and I was going to bed and he was going to stay up a little bit. And I go, and he went to go see that movie too. What'd you think of the movie? It was okay. They tried to do too much. I go, what do you mean? Oh, well, he goes, I like the thing between the son and the dad, the actor that plays the father in the father of this young Pakistani boy was really good. Actually, their whole interplay, the whole family about this very strict Pakistani family and this boy's desire to live his own dreams, basically, right?
Uh-huh.
I highly recommend this movie. Maybe it's not an 18-year-old movie like my son, but I'm not going to lie to you because I'm a big sap. I cried at a couple moments in the movie.
It's good to be in touch with your emotions, Lou.
Well, with me, it's not hard. The wind can shift and I can start to cry. So, but there was some sweet moments between the son and his mother and the conflict between his father and the son. And he's got a beautiful storyline between his sister. And it was really good. And the thing is, Mark, I'm a little bit older than you, but... you're going to remember a lot of this music because it takes place in 1987, 88.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of, police and a little Debbie Gibson sprinkled in.
Yes.
Lindsay perks up. Really? Debbie Gibson?
Are you serious? Yeah.
I want to dance with somebody. Is that Debbie Gibson?
No, that's...
Ooh, I want to dance.
No, that's
Whitney.
Whitney Houston.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Debbie Gibson is Lindsay.
I get lost in your eyes. Shake your love. I just can't shake your love.
I don't know that song.
Yeah, I don't know that either.
There was another one. That's not the Debbie Gibson one. What's the big one?
Only in my dreams.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. That's in it. That's in it.
I know them all.
Right. Okay. Well, let's get back. Let's not. People are turning. They're hanging up right now. 312-981-7200. Yeah.
It says Blinded by the Light is steeped in meaning and its social turbulence feels undeniably relevant.
It's very good. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Max thinks they did too much, but he's 18. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. Let's talk to Frank, who's in Orland Park. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Lou?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, you know, you actually partially answered my question by talking to a caller about staining a deck or treating a deck.
Okay.
So that was great. But my deck is new, so my question is, when should I apply that stain? I've been reading a little bit, and some people say wait a few months before you apply it. So that would be my question. And then also, would it make any sense to apply to the undersurface of the decking boards?
All right, I'll start with the second part first. You don't have to do the underside whatsoever, because what we're trying to do is protect the wood from the sun. That's really the thing, and the bottom side of the deck isn't going to be a problem. How new is the deck, and what's it made out of?
Yeah, brand new. I've actually replaced this deck. The deck rotted from the bottom. Unfortunately, the previous owner, their posts and joists were made of cedar, so it's a cedar deck.
Okay.
So what I did was I replaced all the under, the support structure.
The framing.
The framing with pressure-treated wood.
Yep.
And then now I have the rough sun.
And right now, because it's brand new, it's got that nice kind of red and brown tone, right?
I'd like to find you.
Oh, I'm losing you a little bit, Frank. You have that brown and red tone of the deck, right? It looks real pretty.
Yes, it does.
So I'd leave it for now, just because whatever you stain it with now is going to, you're going to lose that natural look. It will eventually gray on you, okay? So
Right. If
it were me, I would leave it for this season, and I would do this in the spring.
Okay.
All right. I mean, Okay. If you wanted to do it in the fall, you could. You know, a late fall application, like November, maybe, if you wanted to do it before the winter, would be fine. If you start to see some grain by then go right ahead. Do a quick little sand on it, and then apply this Penifin product. You don't need to do the underside whatsoever. And I really like that Penifin product. I just think that it costs a little more, but it really is a terrific product to use. Frank, thanks so much for the phone call. This is Joe in Libertyville. Hey, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How can I help you, sir?
You mentioned a guy, you had a caller earlier, and he's doing a fiberglass door. And I've seen thousands of fiberglass doors. You cannot use just a regular Minwax on fiberglass. Fiberglass is non-porous, and it will just run off like water. So, I agree with you. I cannot stand gel stain. You trying to use it on wood. In fact, I think I stained your mother's door years ago. She bought it from a company in Glenview.
Hold on a second. I've used regular Minwax on fiberglass doors. Why are you saying you can't use that?
Well, I mean, I say because it just runs off like water. Because fiberglass is a non-porous surface. It's like pouring water on it. You can come back and you'll still see the water sitting on the surface.
Right. So my advice always has been that you sand it a little bit to kind of open up that fiber of it, and then I put the Minwax on it.
See, I've stained thousands of I don't know if I can say the manufacturer.
Sure, go right ahead.
Thermatru. And the last thing you want to do is sand a fiberglass door.
Okay. So what is your technique that you use?
Okay, well, we're going way, way, way back. I mean, I would take the door to the customer's house, and I use artist oil, burnt umber, raw umber, raw sienna, and I forgot the last one. And I would mix it with lacquer thinner, do a custom color stain, bring it back to the shop, and stain it. The only thing I would say to use gel stain on is a fiberglass door, because I hate it on wood. I like you said, I can't stand
fiberglass. See, I don't even like it on the fiberglass. I just don't. I have seen so many failed applications of that gel stain on fiberglass. It's been crazy. I mean,
it's not really the gel stain. It's the top coat that fails.
Right.
I've stained thousands of doors. Minwax. I don't know. I would like to get two doors and have you show me your technique. But
that's interesting.
Minwax will not work.
All right.
It doesn't soak in.
Okay. So what are we gonna? So no, this is good. You have done this way more than me. But now we got to come up with a solution for people like what you said going way back. Nobody's doing that anymore. So what are What are we gonna give the average homeowner?
Thermatru sells their own little. I don't know if they sell it anymore. But they used to sell a jar of their own personal sand. It had the viscosity of, like, let's say, half and half.
Yeah.
And you would put it on. You wait till it hazes over, and you get a real good 4-inch bristle brush and just keep on brushing, let that dry, and then you can use the spire varnish. Now they have some pretty good water-based exterior varnishes. But I agree to disagree with you, but the Minwax just will not work.
Right. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to look more into this, but I have done it in the past, and it's worked. And so I don't know if it's a difference in manufacturers, because I'm trying to think of the manufacturer of the door, and it did work, but it might have been
a water based stain, product. But it wasn't a Minwax.
Right.
And I do believe I'm the one who stained your mother's door years ago.
All right. Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I've been listening to you for years. I appreciate you. I listen to you every Saturday.
Thanks, Joe. You're great. Thanks so much for calling. I appreciate that. I'm going to look more into that and make sure I'm giving out the right advice. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate you calling. 9:20 in the morning, Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Now back to House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
9:23 in the morning, Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Debbie is in Downers Grove. Hi, Debbie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Excellent. I'm a big fan of The Boss, but I'm a big fan of Lou Manfredini as well.
Oh, thank you.
I have two questions. I'd like to swap out my dark granite countertops for lighter ones. And do I need to start looking for slabs, or am I looking for a designer, or how to do that? And my second question is, there is an item called A0 Care. Have you ever heard of it? And where can I get a hold of it?
A0 Care for what?
It's a permanent stone treatment that I guess it's
a sealer.
It's not like that tough skin surface protection film that you can put on on granite slabs, but this is more of something that I guess is in the stone when they manufacture it. It's from Italy. Antonelli, something like that. But it's called A0 Care, and I was wondering if you had heard of that.
Well, I mean, the stone, I mean, when they manufacture the stone, that there is, I mean, real stone, it's not manufactured, it's cut out of the, you know, out of the mountainside, and then it's just polished. So there is no, there with real granite, all they're doing is polishing the stone. And that's what gives you the slab. And so, I mean, maybe they're taking some sort of, some sort of mineral that's in it to help you seal it. I'm not familiar with that as a sealer. My experience with any kind of sealer is that it is something, you know, when you talk to most granite installers, they'll tell you that it needs to be resealed, you know, every 18 months or so, a couple of years, depending on the usage. And those sealers will kind of come into that porous, that very top part of the stone that still has the porosity, and give you a little bit of a barrier, which is not a permanent sealer like you're covering it with plastic, but it's just, it gives you time in case there's red wine or grape juice or something like that, in particular with lighter stones. Now, for you, if you're going to go with a lighter stone, I would tell you to go with a quartz material. And then you don't have to worry about ever sealing it ever, because it's a resin and quartz material bonded that never needs to be sealed. And I mean, for that, for the purpose of that, you could get a white countertop if that's what you wanted. And and the quartz material now, you know, probably maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I was still a huge proponent of granite, because I thought that you got more of, and I still do think this, but you get more of the natural fissures and, you know, natural look in a stone that you don't get in quartz. However, what quartz has done now with their designs, you'd be hard pressed now if I put side by side certain kinds of materials to know whether one was real granite or real stone or real quartz, rather.
Like veining is very similar to marble and things.
It's unbelievable, and it's random, and it doesn't look as patterned as it was initially when quartz first came out. And so, I really kind of, and the fact of the matter is that quartz, you know, is just as expensive really as granite, but from a maintenance issue and durability issue, it's much more durable than a natural stone. You never have to seal it. And that consistency that you get out of the look, and even some of the sizes that you can get, because the quartz panels can be bigger. You know, granite only comes so big. And
right.
So you potentially, depending on your kitchen, can have fewer seams or no seams. It all depends.
Okay. So that would definitely be your go-to.
I would recommend. And then within the quartz line, there's a lot of choices. You know, there's a where are you in Downers Grove? Okay,
yeah.
So there is a supplier that's not too far from you called MSI. They're in like Elk Grove Village maybe. Or maybe Itasca. But they have a showroom, but they also, you can go back in their warehouse and you can look at, because they don't install, they're a supplier, but they allow customers to come in and look at stuff.
Okay.
And it might be, they've been a one-time sponsor here of the show. They're actually a supplier to Fox Home Center, which is a sponsor of the show. They supply a lot of their granite and quartz countertops there. And that would be an interesting place for you to walk around in to kind of look at, wow, look at all that quartz, or wow, I really like this granite or marble, whatever it might be. And you'd have such a selection there that you literally need a couple of hours to walk around.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it can be any thickness. Can that be any thickness? And it can be used for a backsplash as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as any thickness goes, like in the quartz, they have different sizes pre-made, but then they can also, with quartz, what's interesting about it is they can build it up and they can cut it and miter it and make thicker looking material than just a standard countertop.
Oh, so they do a top and a side.
They can.
Type of, okay.
With the right fabricator.
Okay.
Yeah, in our kitchen that we just did about a year, 2 years ago in October, we did white quartz countertops with a veining, and then in the island, we actually built it up. So the island is what they call a waterfall counter, where the counter goes all the way to the ground,
yes.
up, mm-hmm. over, and down, but then it's built up so it looks like it's 3 inches thick.
Cool.
And they cut it and miter it because of the consistency of the material that, while technically that can be done with granite too, it's easier and you get a more finished approach. Mm-hmm. Using a quartz material, and it's just really easy to maintain and does a really nice job. Debbie, thanks so much for the phone call. I really appreciate you calling. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
It still makes me giggle. Welcome back. I'm like Captain Obvious. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Tom in Beverly. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning, Lou. Happy Saturday.
You too, sir. How can I help you?
I purchased a house built roughly in the 1940s. I have vintage tile, or the original tile, in the kitchen and in the bathroom. This is that real thick steel back tile, I think is what they call it.
Yep.
Off one of the corners of the window in the kitchen, I have a crack that's formed in the tile. It's about 10 inches long. And then in the bathroom, over time, people have put up hooks or towel racks, so there's a lot of sort of punctures in the tile, mm-hmm. and chips that we'd like to fill. We'd love to try to salvage it if we can. Do you have any recommendations on products or a technique to use? Because obviously finding matching tile is going to be near impossible.
It will be impossible.
Any...
yeah, no, it will be. And what color is the tile?
In the kitchen, it's like a pale yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And in the bathroom, it has that sort of vintage grandma pink.
Right, like Pepto-Bismol pink.
Yeah, it's kind of neat though. So we'd like to try to save it.
No, I know. You know, there is. There's two things. Is matching the color is going to be difficult, and then getting the sheen right is going to be difficult. And so, there are porcelain kits that you can buy, like touch-up kits. That's basically, we'll get the sheen right, but it literally only comes in ivory and white. But maybe with the white, you could tint it. And you can buy tints. And most of that is a petroleum-based. And so you got to buy tints that are petroleum-based that you can use. And so you'll buy a yellow tint, and you'll probably buy a couple little bottles of this. They're small, mm-hmm. right? They look like nail polish. I mean, you can also use nail polish because nail polish already has the color set. And the nail polish, you could fill in those holes and whatever, and maybe the crack. It's not going to be perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it'll be better than what you have. And actually, this is wall tile and doesn't get wet, right?
Yes, correct.
I would just do nail polish. I would get an enamel nail polish and go to, where do you buy your nail polish? Walgreens or what's the other one? Ulta?
Well, my wife and kids are listening at home, and they're all girls, so they'll know where to get nail polish.
Perfect.
From.
So tell them I like the OPI brand.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. That is a brand, right? OPI, right?
It's really funny that you know that.
Right.
How?
Well, you know, I used to be a catcher. No, I wasn't. OPI, I'm sure your daughters use that, but they have a myriad of colors. And so you could probably go buy, I'm sure there's yellow, I'm sure there's that pink, and maybe you buy a couple different bottles until you find the right shade, and then whatever bottles you don't use, either you keep or you return, whatever, if you don't use them, and try that.
And for actually filling the crack, because it's a little sharp on the edges.
Sharp, it isn't like it's separated. It's just like it's uneven, right?
It's cracked and slightly separated. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then what I would do there is I would use a. I'd probably fill that with. Let's see. We got to paint it. So will that stick? Yeah. I mean, just fill it with an acrylic caulking. Because that's paintable, and don't overfill it. Try and get it just nice and smooth, and then go over it with the nail polish.
Sounds great, Lou.
Give
it a shot.
You got it. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you calling this morning. This is Kirk in South Bend. Hey, Kirk, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I've got a bad experience with your penifins that you talked about a little earlier here today.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, I've got a 6-year-old deck. It's made of Kumaro wood, and I guess it's a Brazilian teak wood.
Right.
Really hard wood, and the installer suggested I use Penifin that first go-around. So 2 years after it was put in, I decided to use it. I got maybe a year out of it, and it's like, well, for the cost of what Penifin was, I don't know if I really want to go down that road again, so I tried something else. And I've tried two other things, and I finally settled on the Olympic stains.
Did you, when the Penifin, they make for the hardwoods, they have a specific product for that. Is that what you used?
I just went to the store and got the Penifin.
Okay. Well, here's the only reason I tell you that is that so those hardwoods like Ipe and what you're talking about, those are really difficult to get stain to adhere to because they're so dense. But Penifin makes a specific product for those, basically Brazilian or tropical hardwoods. And so if you just use the regular blue can or even the red can, that is the wrong product for that material. So the thing is that
it's been a couple of years since I used it.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I mean, I got nothing to gain out of the Penifin, my, love for the product. It's just that it's had really good results for me. I have not applied it to those very dense woods, but I do know that they make a specific product for that. I'll look that up because I can't remember the name. Most dealers don't, they do carry it, but you know, it might not be something that they stock necessarily because a lot of people don't, you know, have that type of wood. But you're happy with the results you've had with the Olympic product?
It's about every other year I'm doing it. So, I'm glad now that you've told me this, it's like I'm glad to go back to it and pay a little bit more.
Right, because you don't want to keep doing it. Hold on a second. I'll get you the name of that one, and I'll give it off over the air in just a second. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Looking for some help this morning on your home improvement project?
How handy of a guy are you, Tom? Tom, are you still there?
You've got a question, he's got a solution.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Your go-to handyman. It's Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Held me down, but I got up. Get ready, because I've had enough.
All right, so I looked up the Penafin thing. They actually have several products that are specifically designed for the hardwoods for that gentleman. It's called the TMF hardwood product. It's for natural and ipé tones, deep penetrating with advanced waterborne delivery system. So it gives you that penetration, and it's water repellent, yet it's breathable. So you want either the TMF hardwood product from Penafin or the TSF hardwood. More than likely, if you go to a Penafin dealer, they also have another one called Penafin Hardwood Formula, which is, this is the one I was thinking about. It's a brown can. It's silver and brown. And it's specially designed for dense hardwoods, and it has great added transparency. So more than likely, you go to a dealer, they're going to make you buy a case, because they don't want to bring it all in, but, you know, it depends on what you can come up with, but that's what you want. What are you clicking away? 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Carol is in Beverly. Hi, Carol. You're on WGN.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How can I
help
you?
I have a problem. We live in, actually, Mount Greenwood, Chicago, for 46 years, and our driveway and patio are falling apart, crumbling, actually. So I got two estimates, and they write on the estimate after they hand you the paper and leave no permit. I have to have a concrete man that will give us a permit. Can you recommend anybody in the city of Chicago that could do this work?
Ooh, I mean, any contractor should get a permit, but
no, they don't get it. They write on their city of Chicago. They
right,
are
right,
the
right,
city of Chicago, but they put no permit, and then
okay, hold on, Carol, hold on a second. We're replacing a driveway?
A driveway and a patio, yes.
Okay, so in the city of Chicago, and I can't remember specifically, but if you're removing and replacing, like for instance, if you're doing siding on the side of a building, you don't need a permit. And a concrete driveway, I'm not certain of that, but we'd have to double check that.
No, I did check with the alderman. We do need it.
Okay. All right. Well, then what I would do, I don't have a concrete contractor that works down in Beverly. I'm putting you on hold just so your phone's echoing on me. I don't have somebody I know specifically down on the south side that can work for you, but where you could go is like homeadvisors.com to find a concrete contractor down there and just say, I'm not interested in getting this work done unless you get a permit. And if they don't want to deal with that, just keep in mind that getting that permit will take you some time. So in other words, whatever your timing is of all this, like, hey, I need this done in a week, not going to happen. It's probably going to take them at least a month to get a permit for something like that, because someone has to go down or they need to hire what's called an expediter, which does add cost to you. But I'm a firm believer in getting the permits and doing it the right way. It's just a better way to go. You're covered, no issues, insurance, all that kind of stuff. So start at homeadvisors.com and plug in your zip code. Look for concrete contractors, and you should be able to find somebody there.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Maple, for doing the news. Nice to have Mark Carmen with us here on a Saturday morning. Lindsay for producing. And Bob Ferguson for all his hard work, making sure we're on the air. And you, the listeners, for joining us every Saturday morning. Eileen is in Barrington. Hi, Eileen. You're on WGN.
Hey, Lou. How are you?
I am fantastic. You're our last caller this morning. How can I help you?
I had quartz
countertops put in a year ago, and I, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, accidentally left a plastic container of freshly rinsed strawberries on the countertop overnight, and it left a shadow on the quartz, and I don't know what to do about it.
Hmm. What color? Is it a lighter? It's what color is the...
Well, it sounds like just like yours. It's white with gray veining.
A shadow. A shadow like a shadow of a...
Like, it almost looks like light brown, but not brown. It's like really, like a light tan. And I'm petrified that it's not going to come out.
Okay. Here's what I would do. Do something as very simple as, do you have Dawn dishwashing soap?
I do.
All right. Sprinkle that over the top. Squirt some of that over the top of it with a wet sponge. And
it's
I want you...
Will that stain it?
The sponge is blue?
No, no. The Dawn is blue.
No.
Okay, good.
Work that into like a lather with some warm water and then let it sit there for a little bit, 10 minutes, and then rub it again. Nothing harsh. I don't want anything super strong. And see if that eliminates it. It should not stain. At all. So it might be just right at the surface there. If that does not bring it out, then you need to go back to the manufacturer or the installer to make a warranty claim on the stone.
Okay. I didn't know that. Thank you so much for that heads up.
Yeah, do the Dawn and call me back next week and let me know if it works.
I will. Thanks, Lou.
All right. I appreciate you calling this morning. Hey, as a reminder, I'm going to be out at the Roselle Ace today from 12:30 to 2 p.m. They're at 821 East Nurgi Road. It's a grand reopening of the Ace, and it's also part of a Children's Miracle Network fundraiser that you can come out, win prizes. They'll have all kinds of deals there, and it supports Lurie Children's Hospital. And then a reminder that the 39th Annual Misericordia Family Fest is happening September 8th. From 11 to 6 p.m. on the Misericordia campus. It's at 6300 North Ridge, just south of Devon Avenue. It's always a lot of fun. About 11,000 of Misericordia's friends and supporters will come there throughout the day. You can purchase tickets before September 1st. They're discounted, $8 per adult and $3 for seniors and children. You can order online at misericordia.org or call 773-273-2768. Or you can email Peter B. Hey, Peter. Peter B. at misericordia.com. If you go up, purchase at the gate, it's only $10 and $5 for seniors and kids. There's all kinds of entertainment and fun. It's also going to be NFL game day. Football will be played on large screen TV. So if you're like, hey, it's Sunday, I want to see the game, you can watch the game there and you'll be helping out. I'm going to be one of the live auctioneers along with my friend Lynn Bramer from XRT, who's always been very generous and kind to Misericordia as well. We'll be auctioning off trips and sports tickets and more. It's just a really, really fun event. Bring your entire family and join us if you don't mind. It would really be appreciated. John Williams is standing by. Good morning, sir.
I'm glad you mentioned Lynn Bramer. When I think of the fraternity of people you and I belong to, broadcasters in Chicago,
yep.
I am so glad that I am in a group that has him as a member.
He's a good man.
He is. He's a good broadcaster, and he's just a good guy.
He really is.
Yeah. How are you, Mr. Fixit?
Well. I'm doing great.
Guys,
yeah.
Isn't it nice that you'll say something, and then the last caller will go, just a moment of realization and happiness. It's like, I never get the, thank you. Thank you, John, for being on the radio.
Well, you know,
I never get that.
No, that is not true. That is not true. But it is, when I think about the things that I'm most appreciative of in my life, I just really enjoy helping people, and what little bit of advice I can give them, if it makes a difference to them, it brings me great joy. I'm like Marie Kondo. Wearing a skirt.
You are Marie Kondo before Marie Kondo was. She is the Lou Manfredini of organizing.
Well, perhaps.
You are not the Marie of Fix-It. Thank you, Mr. Fix-It.
See you. Have a good day.